we have a real treat today. Stan is going to come and share just some of his, well, I'm going to let him share. I don't even know where all for sure you're going to go, Stan, but he's going to share some of his experiences with going to Ottawa and with the convoy. Stan is Tamara Leach's dad, and so he's got lots of perspective that maybe some of us don't. And I, when we had coffee a couple weeks ago, I was just really blessed to hear what God had been doing in him and open his eyes to. And I just think I think it'll be really encouraging. So Stan, I want to invite you to come and I want to pray for you when you get up here. But would you just put your hands together and welcome Stan? You know, there's some people that are always just fun to talk to and to greet and see. I don't know how long you've been coming, but Stan is one of those guys where it's like, hey, Stan's here. And I always appreciate your heart. And would you just pray with him, with me? Lord, we just pray for Stan. We thank you, God, for what you've been doing in his life and in his family's life. And I pray, God, just for your strength on him as he shares. Bless him and use him, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Yes, like he said, I'm Stan McBurney, and I happen to be the lucky man to be Tamara's dad. This year, a great adventure of mine started by looking in Facebook and seeing a picture of Chris Barber. And he said we should shut all the trucks down for one day. Just nothing moves. And so I was talking to Tamara on the phone, and she said, well, no, Dad, we got to do something better than that. So we talked a little bit about maybe we should go to the border and we should stop some traffic. We should maybe do that. And then we thought that wouldn't be a good idea. So 2 days later, she phoned me and she said, no, they're going to have a convoy going to Ottawa. Oh, good deal. So I talked to my missus, and we decided that we would run a truck from across Saskatchewan. We would run a pilot truck, lead the procession just across Saskatchewan. And one of the reasons we thought about this is because my wife, who does some studying, studied the amount of funerals that had been in Canada in the last 2 years compared to the 2 years prior. And she looked all this stuff up. And actually, there has been no more funerals in the last 2 years than there was the 2 years previous to COVID. And they were so pushy on this vaccine. Incidentally, I'm not vaccinated, but I don't care who is. It doesn't matter to me. Everybody's entitled to their choice. Do whatever it is that makes you comfortable. And half of those truckers that went down east were vaccinated. Half of them were, or maybe more than half, but they were tired of losing their freedoms, and that's what I'm tired of. I say that if you take a dog and you chain it up with 100 links in the chain, and every day you go out and cut one link out of that chain, in 100 days that dog is tied right tight to the post and thinks that's normal. And that's what we've done with our freedoms. Every week, every month, they take one more thing away, and then all of a sudden we have nothing. And I believe that's what our government has been doing to us. Any case, my adventure started right at Truckers. So Bonnie and I sat there and we talked about this, and can we actually afford to do this? And Bonnie had a job lined up for Monday, so she wouldn't be able to do it. And we had a little more conversation, and finally I said, let's go all the way to Ottawa. We got enough money to go to Ottawa. Let's go all the way to Ottawa. Phone the outfit that you got a truck lined up for. Tell them to find somebody else. Tell them you're busy. Which is not a good business plan, incidentally. But so she phoned them, and we decided we were going all the way to Ottawa. So we phoned Tamara, said, you want to ride with us to Ottawa? Oh, I sure do. So that's how we got started. So at Truckers, where all the trucks come from the west, and the trucks come from Swift Current and met up there, and we sat around there and ate, and people were so generous. Hutterites come along and give me $60 to buy gasoline with that. Now, $60 in gasoline nowadays doesn't get you very far, but it all helps. They loaded the back of my half ton with windshield washer. They say, when you get to Ontario, you're going to need this. And so we handed it out to the truckers. In any case, we started out, and the crowds of people that cheered going through Medicine Hat was unreal. Standing on the side of the road, and you had to be careful you didn't run over somebody because they would run out and want to shake your hand. Now, my wife drove that pilot truck right from truckers all the way to behind the Parliament buildings in Ottawa. And she's 70 years old, and she was laughing about that. She said, isn't that amazing? 70-year-old lady leading the longest convoy in the world. And I said, it is amazing. But I sat on the passenger side and waved at the people that were standing along the road. You get to Ontario when it's minus 25 and 30 and you got your arm out the window. I thought I was going to freeze my hand off. But there was just an amazing amount of people. And the spirituality of it, the love that people expressed. You know, you're driving along and going through a town and you got the window open waving and somebody throws a bag of chips in the window at you. One of them hit me right in the face. I was, what's going on here? Any case, and every intersection, believe it or not, every intersection that we went all the way until we got to Kenora, Ontario, was packed with Hutterites. So they supported us, I can guarantee that. And it does not just Hutterites, it was everybody. Any case, we got to Winnipeg. There were so many supporters of the convoy at the Flying J that we couldn't park in there. Hutterites, there was 18 colonies that were going to feed us in Winnipeg. And we couldn't get in there. So they said, well, carry on, go to Kenora. And Kenora is another 2.5 hours down the road. Go to Kenora, we'll get there and we'll feed you there. So we went on to Kenora. And the other thing, going through Winnipeg, there was so many people. The highway was narrowed right down to where we could just barely fit through. People were standing. There must have been 100,000 people standing out on the highway, waving and cheering. And so we get to Kenora, and at 11:30 at night, minus 30, we're in there somewheres, and these Hutterites fed us. They brought 8 trailer loads of food and cooking stuff, and they cooked it right out there in front of us, so we got a hot meal, and we thanked them. And I met a guy by the name of Paulie there, a Hutterite fella, and his speech says, when you get up in the morning, before you go outside, just decide that you're going to have a good day. Tell yourself it's going to be a good day. He said, before you go outside, before the day starts going bad on you, you have already made the decision that's going to be good. And so I've been doing that ever since. I get up in the morning and it's going to be a good day. Any case, Bonnie and I got lost in Sudbury. They told us to turn left, and so we turned left and everybody else turned right. And so we get downtown in Sudbury, and I didn't know how to get back to 17 Highway. So we're stopped at a stoplight and the guy pulls up alongside the right-hand side. I rolled the window down. I said, can you tell me how to get to 17 Highway? Not waving those flags, I won't. And he drove away. So I Googled where 17 Highway was. We were quite all right. The wonderful thing about Google, you just get wherever you want to go. Any case, all at night, when we would be late getting there, because every time you stop for dinner, it takes a little longer. People fed you. All along the way, people were feeding us. Never had to buy a meal from the time we got to Red Cliff until we were leaving Ottawa. Not one meal. Didn't have to buy one. I have, I guess, kind of omitting things. There's people that decided that if I couldn't afford to go, they would help me. A buddy of mine was laying in the hospital. He sent me $750. He said, I can't go, but here's some help for you. My brother-in-law has had a stroke. And he lives with us. He hands Bonnie a check for $500. You know, so it's those kind of things that I could, you know, it wasn't a financial problem for me to go. Any case, at, the middle of the night as you're driving by, and this is, it's spiritual. You're driving by and they got bonfires going and they're cheering. And I said to Bonnie, it's just like Canada is having a party. And they were. Every place all along the road, people, every town, every intersection, there was people cheering and it was so happy. And I say, I'm not sure whether it was the most spiritual, but it's awful close. Probably the most spiritual experience I ever had is back about 46 years when I quit drinking, and God helped me do that. But now with this, if he hadn't helped me do that, I wouldn't have been able to do this. So in any case, I think we get downtown in Ottawa, right behind the Parliament buildings, and there must have been 100,000 people down there. And they would come talk to us through the window and thank us for being there. And they would be people from southern part of Quebec, people from Toronto, people from the southern Ontario, and they would come and thank us. So my attitude of what happens between the West and the East is amazingly different. I thought, you know, that them people that lived down East were a bunch of yo-yos, and we didn't need to do anything with them. We didn't need them. We could push them out into the ocean and we'd all be happier. But my opinion has changed. I was out walking around a little bit, getting a little exercise. This little lady, she's about this high, maybe a little higher, but not much. She reached up, put her arms around my neck, pulled my head down and planted a kiss right on my lips. She said, I come from South America, from Brazil, and I come up here because there's no freedom in Brazil. And there was freedom here, but now that's gone. So she said, thank you. That's what the kiss is for. It's at the window of my truck, they would just about crawl in the window to either give Bonnie or I a hug. And it was just amazing. There was so much love and support, and the people of Ottawa themselves delivered food, clothes. I had the window open, the guy comes along, he throws a pair of wool socks in the window. Here, you might need these before you get out of town. You know, it's something you don't think about, the generosity of other people. And in any case, Bonnie had a contract that we had to turn around and get back for, so we left Sunday morning and come home. Boy, that Ontario was a big, big province to drive through. It takes you forever. But we had our flags on the truck, and every place we stopped, people were cheering and thanking us. And we get home, and I thought, oh, this is wrong. I feel like I deserted them. I should be back down there. And I kept telling Bonnie, I should go back to Ottawa. I had two truckers from Veteran phone me. Said, we're trying to get a new convoy started, Stan. We know that you led the last one. Will you lead us back down there? Yeah, sure. So they showed up and they didn't go according to plan. Everything was 2 days later than they thought it was going to be, but we finally got on the road. And I drove back down there. And while I was in Ottawa this time, I went to the command center, which was set up before anybody ever got there. And I met that Peckford. I met the cop that used to work for Trudeau, that was his sharpshooter, or that sat up on top of the buildings with a machine gun. I met him, firemen, veterans, lots of people that, and it was like, I don't know if any of you ever watched CIS and the command center and CIS, where they're sitting around this big table and they got all these computers, and you look at them computers and they are watching every camera in Ottawa down where the truckers were and keeping track. And they told us what we could do and what we couldn't do. When you get down there, don't accept any money from anybody. Don't go into any building, and above all, be peaceful. And that was the mandate of the truckers. And they never did the things that the press said they did. They just didn't do it. Any case, I got to go to one of their kitchens. I don't know who set this up, citizens of Ottawa, I think. But in this kitchen, there was all kinds of food. There was heat in there, and people would just come and sit in there and visit. And then they would go wandering around. So I got to talk to a fella. He said, 10 days ago, he said, I was homeless. He said, I'm a drug addict. I was on drugs and booze, and I froze my hands, and I was sick, and the truckers come along, and they took me and got me medical aid, and I got fixed up. And he said, when I got all fixed up, I said, I got no place to live. Well, come stay in this kitchen. It's warm in there, and you won't freeze to death, and you can come stay there, but we have some rules. You cannot drink, you can't use drugs, and you have to do something. You can't just sit there and live off the goodness of the people. So he said he was 10 days clean and sober at that time, and he'd get up and empty the garbage if there was garbage that needed emptying. He just did little things. And he said, this is the first time in my life that I felt like I belonged. Now, that brings tears to my eyes when I think about it now. You know, this guy, homeless, and the truckers who didn't know him, didn't have a clue who he was, were looking after him. And for those 10 days, he felt like he belonged. So then, while I was in this camp, there was I suppose she would have been 70-some years old, her and her husband come in, and she's rubbing her hands, you know, they're so cold. And I'd been in there for a while, my hands are nice and warm. I said, here, let me hold your hands, let you warm your hands up. She said, it's not my hands that are cold, my feet are freezing. Well, I said, I'm not holding them, but we'll get a chair and set it close to the fire, and you can warm up. So I was talking to her daughter, and her daughter, I guess, is 40 years old, because she said she lived in Canada for 38 years and was 2 years old when she got here. She came with her parents, and her mother came and told me her story, that they came to Canada for freedom, and now there's no freedom. They escaped Poland, is where they came from, and went to Austria. And she said, in Austria, if we went into a store and bought diapers for our baby, when we come out, they took them away from us because they said we stole them. So they couldn't live there. So they came to Canada, and she said she didn't want to leave Poland because that was home. But she had to because it was under martial law all the time, and it was terrible. So now, she said, I come to Canada, and it's no different than it was in Poland. So that's some of the things that struck home to me, you know. And so I got to talk to this 40-year-old lady quite a bit, and I guess I'm a little bit like that. My kids say if I go to the doctor's office before I leave, I know everybody that was sitting there. I do visit. And so in any case, we spent time there. We went to a different camp, and these two guys that I led down there, I think they were shocked. Incidentally, that's the only two that went in this convoy. So my wife led the largest convoy in the world, and I led the shortest one. But any case, the whole thing would be useless, absolutely useless, if it wasn't for people like you. We have to wake up, we have to look after ourselves, because the government isn't going to do that. And how we do it, I don't know. Paul and I were talking there at the back. I guess the only way I know how to do it is to pray. And so when Tamara got arrested, I have an app on my phone that says go to Ottawa, and it's all Hutterites. They call me Stan Fetter, which means Uncle Stan. So they think I'm part of the colonies. But I do go to about 7 different colonies, and I can go there and eat anytime I feel like. So I do every once in a while. But in any case, I said, I want you to all pray at exactly the same time. Pray for Tamara. Okay, we'll do that. So not only did all the ones on my app, they phoned everybody they knew, every Hutterite they knew, so there could have been 100,000 Hutterites praying for Tamara at the same time. That is the only thing that works, is prayer. We cannot get violent because we have to pay for the consequences. I've been in a few scraps in my life, you know. My nose is fairly flexible from talking when I should have been listening. But in any case, it didn't solve anything, and violence still won't solve anything. You have to live with the consequences of your actions, and my actions now is that if somebody needs some help, they should ought to ask. And if I can help, I sure will, because that's my new mandate in life. I wasn't always like this. I was always thought, you know, look after Stan and the rest of the world can go to grass. I think now I have to help, and I have to help this beautiful country. And it is beautiful. There's a song on the radio, I think it's God Bless America. I changed the words to God Bless Canada, because we need his blessings. We have a most beautiful country, and I've traveled that far of it. And I know even in the rocks in Ontario, it's beautiful. And I've changed my respect for people that live south of the thin red line. You know where that thin red line is? Anything south of the 49th parallel. And over half of our population lives down there. And so we're stuck being controlled by them, no matter who gets elected. We're going to get stuck. They have to support them, do what they want, or they won't be elected the next term. But in any case, I've changed my opinion about those people. For a while, I had, I know as an alcoholic, I can't afford resentments because that just causes me to want to drink. But I had a great resentment for RCMP, for police, no matter what uniform they were wearing, for the justice system, and for politicians. But not all policemen are bad. Most of them have to have a job. They just get a job because they got to feed their family. And so I've had to suck that resentment up. And yeah, there's some bad ones, but there's some bad ones in every organization in the world. And I think, is it Ecclesiastics or something in the Bible where he was talking about every organization, you're going to get somebody that wants more power, more control than he's entitled to. And that's what happens in organizations, even in the RCMP. So I've changed my opinion of them a little bit. I still might ask them when they stop me if they were a terrorist or a policeman, but I might end up in jail one day too. In any case, I know we have to pray. And I didn't always believe that. I'm a kind of a religious rebel, or was all my life. Actually, I started coming here. Pastor Hans used to stand up here. The music would be on here, and the young people would come up and hold his hand, and they'd jump up and down. So Richard Moorhead and I would be sitting at the second seat. We started coming here because there was some people from the Healing Lodge that were being baptized. So they invited us to come watch their baptism. So I said to Richard, we got to come back next Sunday. I wonder how long Pastor Hans can jump up and down before he ends up in the basement. So that's how I started coming here. I'm waiting for him to fall through the floor. It's a good thing you got a sturdy church. In any case, a big mouth always looks better closed, so I'm going to close mine. Thanks.